You know, when God blesses us with comfortable days, comfortable life, comfortable seasons, He's a loving, righteous, faithful, and good God. And when He allows us to experience uncomfortable times, uncomfortable days, uncomfortable seasons, He's loving, He's righteous, He's faithful, He's a good God. He's an unchanging God. And that, my friend, should give you great comfort. I know it comforts me.
Hi, and welcome to One Little Candle, a place where genuine believers are encouraged, empowered, and inspired to be the light that God calls us to be by contending for the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to His people so that we may pass down undefiled the truth of God's infallible word to the next generation. And in case you're thinking that you can't make a difference in your own little corner of the world, yes, you can, because all it takes is one little candle. I'm your host, Rebecca Berschwinger. Thanks for joining me for today's episode.
Well, hello, everyone, and how are you today? Tomorrow is Good Friday, and an email came across my inbox from Paul Tripp. And it really resonated with me when I read it. It's about Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and I thought I'd really like to share this with you. So I'm going to, for the most part, put it into my own words, but I want to share with you what Paul Tripp had shared and make sure that your Good Friday, your Easter Sunday is filled with hope. All right. So there was a preacher by the name of S.M. Lockridge, and he was the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego from the 1950s to the 1990s. In the year 2000, he went home to be with the Lord. But I have an excerpt from this sermon that he had shared. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. And the excerpt reads as this: It's Friday, the disciples are running. Like sheep without a shepherd, Mary's crying, Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sunday is a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. And there's also a song, singer-songwriter Phil Wickham released a similar song called Sunday is Coming. And, well, can you guess what our song for the day is going to be? Yes. But Good Friday, you know, we Christians, we take the time to remember one of the most horrible things. Well, actually, the most horrible thing that ever happened on the face of this earth. That is the crucifixion of the Son of God. But see, we view Good Friday with Sunday in mind. We're on the other side of this, and we know what happened afterwards. So Jesus' death for us wasn't hopeless. We have that glorious Sunday in mind as we reflect on Good Friday. Yes, we mourn the death of Jesus. I mean, we mourn the fact, at least for me, that Jesus even had to go through this because of me. So we mourn the death of Jesus. We mourn it because he had to die for us, what he had to go through. And you know, if you've ever wondered how serious or grievous sin is to God, well, look at what the Son of God had to go through because of it. That alone should speak volumes. Because if sin wasn't that big of a deal to God, I don't think Jesus would have had to have gone through what he went through or probably even died. Okay. But I just want to talk for a minute about the disciples and how hopeless that day must have seemed for them. Yes, they were with Jesus all the time, okay? And he did, in fact, three different times, tell them what was going to happen. The first time he told them was I'm going to use Matthew. He also told them in Mark and Luke. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23 said this: From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go through Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Why did Jesus say that, get behind me, Satan? Because Satan didn't want this crucifixion to happen, did he? Well, he knew. He knew what was going to happen, the wonderful thing that would happen through it. But Peter, good old open mouth, insert foot Peter, right away rebuked Jesus and said, no, I don't think so, Lord. Nope, not going to happen. I won't let it happen. And that wasn't God's plan. God had a plan, and his plan was going to happen, and no one was going to try to stop it, including Satan. All right, Jesus knew that his death must happen. It was necessary in God's plan to save the world. And so he predicted his death a second time, and again a third time. And in all those times, you know, the disciples didn't understand completely what he meant. And if you're at all thinking, wow, what a bunch of idiots. Jesus came out and told them, well, you know, how many times has God told you and I things? And we haven't grasped what he's saying. We haven't listened. We haven't understood. You know, and I think it's maybe denial, partly denial. You know, they don't want to go there. Just a thought of that seemed outrageous to them. Why would they even let their minds go there? They probably were thinking, hopefully he's talking about something else. I don't know. And there were other subtle suggestions of Jesus' death, like when Mary anointed Jesus with the costly perfume. But yes, Jesus did talk about his death, and the disciples didn't grasp what he was saying. And because of that, after he died, they were grief-stricken. They were despondent, beside themselves. Can you imagine what must have been going through their minds? Like, how did we get this so wrong? How could it possibly have ended like this? And I would not have wanted to have been in their shoes. I just can't imagine what that felt like. And of course, we also realize they didn't understand because of their reaction when they went to the tomb to visit Jesus and it was empty. Right away, it was assumed that someone stole his body. So again, didn't grasp it. But here we are on the other side of it, okay? Good Friday for us is not hopeless. In fact, Good Friday is the most wonderful thing to have happened on the face of this earth because eternal hope was given to mankind. But let's bring this over to the here and now and apply this to our lives, our everyday lives, because now that we know that the most horrible thing that happened is actually the most wonderful thing, that God's righteous and wise plan, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, taking our sin upon himself was, you know, the moment that dark and disastrous moment in history, it was that moment that would fix all the dark and disastrous things that sin sent into the world. So when it comes to making sense in our own lives, perhaps right now, your life looks or feels like a disaster. But is it? Or could it actually be God's grace? Could it be your hope? Could it actually be the beginning of something wonderful and new? You know, let's not forget that your Heavenly Father, he's the same God that planned the worst thing that ended up being our best thing. And he rules over every moment in your life, in my life. He's a God that can and does take disasters, take those hopeless moments and times in our life, and he makes them be for our good. He makes them to be powerful and useful tools for our redemption. He takes our failures and he employs them as tools of grace. He uses these bad things that happen to us because of this fallen, dark, sinful world. He uses them to call us back to him, to bring us closer to him, and to cause us to reach out in desperation for life from him. And that is the amazing thing about Christ. The amazing thing about our God, the amazing thing about Christianity is that the hardest things in our lives really do become the most useful and sweetest of tools of grace when they're in God's wise and all-loving hands. You know, I think about the song, "You're a Good, Good Father," because he is a good, good father. And he also loves those who are his. And he's promised to take what's bad and turn it into something good. Romans 8:28. I know people sometimes misuse this verse a lot, but Let's just look at Romans 8:28 for a second here. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." God works all things together for good, both his good, first and foremost, his good, for his glory, okay? But when God is given glory, his people, they benefit. We benefit. Those of us who love God, we can trust his goodness. We can trust his power and his will to work out all things for our good as we walk with him. Now, this doesn't mean, this promise that God works all things together for good doesn't mean that all things are good. Some things and events are actually bad. They're bad. But God is able to work them together as part of his master plan because he sees the big picture. And so he works them together for good. Neither does Romans 8:28 mean that we're going to acquire all that we want or desire. No, it doesn't. But we know that God is a good God, and if he's a good God, his plan is always good. So we can have confidence in that, that no matter what our circumstances or environments are, God is active, and he will bring things to work according to his good and wise design. And it also means God's plan, it won't be thwarted. No one can thwart God's plan. But our part in this is to trust God. We have to trust him and his way. All right? And I know sometimes that's easier said than done when things are really, really bad and we don't understand. But we serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. And as he says in Isaiah 46:10, "My purpose will stand and I will do all that I please." So even though, well, we know how chaotic this world is, but maybe right now your personal life seems chaotic and out of control. But you know what? God's still in charge. He's still in charge. He knows what's best for you, and he loves you, and he's good. He's good. And so the good days, the good seasons are a gift from God, for sure. And the bad days and the bad seasons are also a gift from God, from our all-knowing, all-loving, wise God. You know, when God blesses us with comfortable days, comfortable life, comfortable seasons, he's a loving, righteous, faithful, and good God. And when he allows us to experience uncomfortable times, uncomfortable days, uncomfortable seasons, he's loving, he's righteous, he's faithful, he's a good God. He's an unchanging God. And that, my friend, should give you great comfort. I know it comforts me. So it's important that we don't just recognize and honor and worship our Heavenly Father on the good days. That we're not just only thankful for who God is in the good times. We should worship him when the times aren't so good. Worship him both in darkness and in light. Weeping may come for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I think that's like the second half of Psalm 30, verse 5. No matter what kind of season we're having, good or bad, our hope and our rest is still in Christ Jesus. We need to walk by faith. We need to know that God can turn bitter into sweet, just like he did that Easter morning. We don't have to understand why things happen, but simply rely on God's grace. You know, so much about our life and this life here on earth just doesn't make sense, and we won't have answers until heaven. So in the meantime, we need to be thankful for the good days. We need to praise him in those good days and, you know, enjoy them. Don't take the good seasons for granted, please. Because when the not so good days roll around, and they inevitably will, because they do for all of us, we're sinners and we're living in a broken, sinful creation. A creation that's groaning to be free from this sin. But let us never forget who God is. He's still the same good God who blesses us with good days, even when it's not such a good day. Just remember how hopeless the disciples seemed because they couldn't see what was up ahead. We cannot see what's up ahead either. But we do know we have a good, good Father, a good, all-wise, loving, powerful God. So my friend, if you find yourself in a dark and difficult season right now, pray. Pray that God will use those hard things to bring about for you wisdom, discernment, redemption, humility, love, gratitude, character, for God to help bring those things into your life, make them a part of you through this difficult season. Okay, as I had mentioned earlier, Phil Wickham did a song, Sunday's Coming. Please listen to it. It's a great song. I will, as always, leave the link to the song in the podcast show notes. But, you know, I want to end this episode sharing with you the lyrics to that song. I'm going to read them to you. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's wonderful to just dissect a hymn or a song and read the words and ponder them or comment to yourself on the verses as you read them to really stop and give the songs thought. I think it gives us an even greater appreciation for these wonderful worship songs. But here are the lyrics to Sunday is Coming. A great light dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. Wonder-working rebel priest, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done. You better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. So he let those soldiers take him in as his friend betrayed him with a kiss. There before the mocking crowd, like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. Then he carried that cross to Calvary and he shed his blood to set us free. As the nails went in and the sky went dark, the redemption of the world was on his heart. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done. You better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. Then he breathed his last and bowed his head. The Son of God and man was dead. With bloody hands, tears on their face, they laid him down inside that grave. But that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. Let me tell you what happened next. The women came before the dawn to find that stone already gone. When they looked inside, the angel said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Give him praise. Lift him high. Hallelujah. He's alive. Don't lose hope because Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now Jesus reigns upon the throne. All heaven sings to him alone. We watch and wait like a bride for a groom. Oh, church, arise. He's coming soon." Have a blessed Good Friday and Easter. Until next time, you take care and God bless.